Serve us tonight, if you will, and pray with me and ask God to help our hearts and speak to us tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you once again for the opportunity to be in thine house. I pray, God, you'll bless the service tonight. It would be in vain for me to stand up here and speak and talk without thy help in our lives, without your illumination from the Word of God. I pray, God, you'll encourage us. God, you'll strengthen our faith tonight. And God, may we see from the text what we should see tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that we'll be a blessing to thee the rest of this week. God, may we give every day to thee. And God, I ask you to use it, Lord God, for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn me in God's Word to Mark. Mark chapter 6 tonight. Mark chapter 6. Normally we have a Bible study, and you might would call this a Bible study, but I'm going to just try to preach to you tonight and try to help us. I believe we all need some help in the Word of God. I believe we all need help in our Christian life and in our Christian faith. The Bible says this life we're living is a life of faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We serve by faith. We stand by faith. We pray by faith. And all our life is built on faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And my friend, we can't see it, but we know it's real. Our Lord Jesus Christ is real. Let's look here, if you would, Mark chapter 6. We're going to read several verses together. I'm going to try to preach to you tonight. Something Jesus could not do. And I'm not playing around tonight. We always say Jesus can do everything. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He has all power. He has all knowledge. He can be everywhere all at the same time. But there's something that the Bible records for us that Jesus Christ himself could not do. And we'll see what this is tonight. Let's look here in Mark chapter 6. And verse 1, the Bible says that he went thence, and he went out from thence, and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him was astonished, saying, from whence have this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that every such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. I am among his own kin, and in his own house. Notice what it says in verse 5, and he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And it says something here in verse 5 that struck my attention as I was reading the Word of God. It says, and he could there do no mighty work. And one thing Jesus Christ couldn't do in his own town, in his own homeland, in his own place, around his family, his mother that gave birth to him, his family that realized his miraculous birth, is born of a virgin, conceived of God. This man, Jesus Christ, he could not do a mighty work. And my friend, we want God to do a mighty work in our church. We want God to do a mighty work in our hearts. We want God to do a mighty work in America. But we want America to come back to God. We want Marion County to come back to God. We want our homes, our families, our church to come back to God. But God records in the Word of God that he couldn't do a mighty work because of one reason. In verse 6, because of their unbelief. Jesus said he couldn't work in the midst that he wanted to because of their unbelief. I still believe that to be true today. I believe we serve a great God. I believe he wants to do great for us. I believe, my friend, the hand of God wants to do something mighty in our churches, in our lives, in our towns, in our community, in our state, in America, in the world. Hey, but God cannot do it as we don't have belief in God, as we don't have faith in God. Our unbelief and our little faith in God, my friend, somehow ties his hands down so he's not able to work the way he wants to work in our lives. We know what little faith brings. Little faith brings doubt. Little faith brings fear. Little faith brings murmuring. Hey, my friend, I want to have great faith in God. I want to be like Peter and just step out of the boat and step onto the water because of Christ's command. Here the Bible says that because of their unbelief, he could not do a mighty work in their presence, but just heal a few folks here and there. My friend, I want to just try to give this to you if I can. In Hebrews chapter 4, look here with me, if you would, find your place in Hebrews chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in Mark that he couldn't do a mighty work because of unbelief. Notice what it says here, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 4. Let's just read one verse tonight in verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." My friend, there's power in the Word of God. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all those who have placed their faith in Him can be saved, be forgiven of sin, and be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says here, the writer of Hebrews said that the gospel that was preached, it did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. But we have people come every Sunday morning service. We've got visitors that come every Sunday morning service and some on Sunday night service. And my friend, we've got lost people that come to church. We've got people that don't know Christ. They come to church and they leave the same way they come in because they have not placed their faith and confidence and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself." You say, "Preacher, how do we get the faith?" God gives it to you. You say, "Preacher, how do we get saved?" God does it. You say, "Preacher, who keeps us saved?" God Almighty does. My friend, God does the work. God does the rebirth. God does the spiritual work in our hearts and life. So why do people leave the same way they come in? Now, we're not one in types of churches, and we got visitors here tonight, but I'm going to say it for all of us. We're not one in type of churches, "Hey, come as you want to." Boy, this is God's house. You should respect God enough to come in the right attire. You should respect God enough to come the right way. So we say, "Come, and we'll preach to you and help you and be your friend." But why do people come in and leave the same way? Because the preaching didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith. Now let's get our minds off of sinners for a minute and put them on the sanctified, put them on us that are saved by God's grace. Why does a preacher stand up and preach the Word of God three times a week and we leave the same way we come in, not with our faith increased, not with more faith in God, not with more confidence in God, not with more trust in God? Why do we leave the same way we come in? Because, my friend, we're not demonstrating, we're not placing, we're not putting our confidence and trust and faith in the Lord. The Bible still says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy path." Tonight, this New Testament Bible verse for us, "He could not do a mighty work because of their unbelief." I'm going to give you an Old Testament illustration of what we find in the Word of God. Turn, if you would, to Numbers chapter 13. I hope you're familiar with the Word of God. You know Numbers chapter 13 is a special chapter for us. It's the Word of God. All of us, the Word of God. But this particular chapter here, God is speaking to Moses, and He told Moses to go into Canaan, the promised land. And sometimes we get confused. And Numbers chapter 13, if you'll find your place there. I've heard it when I was a young boy in Christ, when I first got saved, that Canaan is a type and place of heaven. But it's not. Canaan is a type and place of the victorious Christian life. Oh, Canaan is a place that we'll see tonight that God wants all of us to be a part of, that God wants us to be in. Look here, I want you to see, my friend, we're going to just take a few verses from Numbers chapter 13 tonight, and maybe, Lord willing, by His Spirit, you'll see what I'm trying to preach to us tonight. The victory that comes from God. Or in other words, the victory that God wants us to have. Look here, if you would, the victory. Let's read, if you would, in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. And of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." Here God says in verse 2 that He wants you to go out and spy Canaan. He wants you to go out and look at Canaan. And Canaan is a type of the victorious Christian life. The Bible says He's come to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. My friend, if you're saved tonight, I hope everyone is, then my friend, He's giving you life. The Bible says you were dead in trespasses and sin. You couldn't communicate with God. The Bible says that God heareth not them that sinneth.
My friend, when I was lost in my sins on the way to a devil's hell, I couldn't communicate with God. My friend, I couldn't speak to a heavenly Father and get the help I need. But God in His mercy and God in His love protected me, my friend, and helped me and led me to a place where I can hear the gospel and I can get saved by God's amazing grace. And God gives us life when we get saved. With just dead people walking around, serving the flesh, living for the world, until you come to repentance and conviction. Conviction of sin, repentance of sin, and faith in God. I believe all of us still go together. I don't believe it's a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and be saved. You go to anybody's door and knock on their door and pass out some of these gospel tracts that we have and say, sir, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Of course. Well, if you would pray this prayer with me, God will save you tonight. Boy, it's just not that easy. You've got to get them guilty. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that the whole world may become guilty before God. You get them guilty of their sin. Get them, to my friend, to have conviction in their lives as the Holy Ghost moves upon them through the Word of God. He convicts their hearts. He repents. He gives them repentance, my friend, godly repentance. And they repent of their sin and place their faith and trust in Christ. And that's when you get life. I hope you got it tonight. I hope these children got life tonight. I hope every one of us know we're saved tonight. Without a shadow of a doubt. I don't know too much. I know my address. I know my birthday. I even know my name. My mama told me what my name was when I was born. That's how I know my name. But I know I'm saved tonight. You say, why, Preacher Scott? Because the Word of God told me if I would do this and do that, that God would save me. And that's what I've done. I'm placing my faith and trust in what the Word of God says. If I die and go to hell for some reason, I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus Christ and tell God Almighty that I've done what the Bible said to do to be saved. I'm trusting in the Bible tonight. You say, Preacher, how else you know you're saved? Because I hate sin. Well, I'm not sinless. I'm not perfect. And neither are you. But I can tell you, when I got saved, I started hating sin. And the more I get on in my Christian life, the older I get, the more I hate it. Well, He gives us life, but He wants to give it to us more abundantly. He wants us to enter into Canaan land. My friend, there's some particular things about Canaan land I want you to notice tonight. The victory that God wants us to have. Look here, if you would, in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 13. The Bible says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, here, my friend, that should be good enough for all of us. Hey, the Lord said, I want you to have a victorious Christian life. Well, it's not the preachers, not the pastors, not the Sunday school teachers, but it's God Almighty that has told us to live a separated, a consecrated, a life that will glorify Him. Well, I preach on it, you teach on it, we stand for it, but it's God Almighty that tells us how to live our lives. I want you to look at verse 2. The Bible says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. You say, Preacher, how do I possess this victorious Christian life? I want you to know this life is a life that God gives to you. Every one of us, it's available to every one of us. You don't have to live a Christian pauper life. You don't have to be a weak, anemic Christian, my friend. You can live on the high side. You can live, my friend, in the goodness of God because that's what God wants us to do, live in Canaan land. Look here, if you would, let's just skip some of these names just for sake of time tonight. Look here in verse 17. The Bible says that Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. Boy, they're going up higher than they've ever been before. My friend, all of us want this place called Canaan. And I ask you, my friend, with just a spiritual heart tonight, to try to follow along and see what God has for us. God wants us to have this place called Canaan. Canaan is the land that God said we can possess. Canaan is the land that God says He'll give to us. Canaan is a place that gets higher than we are right now. When I first got saved, Preacher Larry told me, he said, your Christian life is like the steeple of the church. He said, you start off big and low at the bottom. But as you get higher, you get smaller. And I've noticed that to be true. I'm not talking about weight. I'm not talking about size. But I'm talking about the closer you get to God, the more you realize, hey, the smaller you are. Hey, the more you have to humble yourself down and realize that God is bigger than all your problems. And the Lord God Almighty is the one that you need every day. It's Canaan land. It's something that God wants to give to all of us. He says it's available to you. He says just take it. And my friend, look here in verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. But we should get higher and higher in our Christian life. Look here, if you would, in verse 23. The Bible says this for us. And they came and to the brook of Shechol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon his staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Boy, this Christian life is a life of fruit. Boy, they come to the Canaan land, these spies, these 12 men, I believe, come to the Canaan land and spied out the land. And here, Moses said, hey, men, when you get there, bring back some evidence of this Canaan land. Bring back something that we can put our eyes on to see what this Canaan land is all about. And these men, they went there, and they saw a cluster of grapes, and they cut the cluster of grapes down and put it on a staff. And the Bible says that it was so big, it took two men to carry the one cluster of grapes out. One on one side, one on the other side. Well, Canaan is the land of victory. Canaan is the land of fruitfulness. You know what the Bible says in John? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. My friend, Canaan land is a place where we glorify our Father because of the fruit we bear. Why do we go out and try to get people saved? To glorify our Father. Why do we read our Bibles? Not just to learn more of our Bibles, but to learn more of God. And as we learn more of God, God communicates with us, and He's glorified. Why do we drop on our face before God in prayer and pray and ask the Lord for His help? Because we realize, as humans, we cannot help ourselves. As humans, we don't have the strength and capacity to do what needs to be done. We've got to depend upon God. We call ourselves independent Baptists, but we're dependent upon God. We depended upon His mercy, upon His grace, upon His strength, upon His goodness, upon His love, upon the Holy Spirit of God, upon the Bible, upon prayer, upon church. We're dependent upon each other, my friend, to help us in our Christian lives. And here this Canaan land is a land all of us can possess. It's filled with fruit. I want fruit in my life, don't you? Girls and boys, y'all want fruit in your life to glorify God. People can look at your life and tell there's something different about him. There's something different about her. They must be Christians. Or you go down in a Marion hospital, pass out gospel tracts, get on an elevator with somebody and make casual conversation and ask them about their soul. I spoke to a lady a while back, and she was in the elevator. I said, ma'am, let me ask you something. We was leaving the third floor, going down to the bottom floor. I said, let me ask you something, ma'am. I said, on the last time, are you going to go up or down? And we was going down in the elevator. She said, well, I'm going down now. I said, what about the last time when you take your last breath? Will you be going up to heaven, or will you have to spend eternity in a place called hell? And she said, oh, goodness me, I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. I trust in Christ as my Savior. Well, I had a wonderful time, and I got off the elevator. She said, by the way, let me ask you a question. Are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. And usually a preacher's fat and bald-headed. I said, what gave me away? And she said something I won't ever forget. It broke my heart. She said, only a preacher would ask me about my soul. It shouldn't be that way. It should be every born-again Christian concerned enough to ask somebody about their soul. Here, this Canaan land is a land that has fruit in it. Hey, this Canaan land is a land. Look in verse 27. Notice what the Bible says. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Well, Canaan land is a land of fruit. Canaan land is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Canaan land is a land that glorifies our God. Hey, Canaan land is a place that God wants every one of His children to dwell in, man. He don't want us to be a part of the world. He don't want us, my friend, to be part of the flesh. He wants us to turn away from the world and not live in the flesh and get our eyes on Jesus Christ and live in Canaan land until He calls us on home. Canaan land, a place of fruit, a place with milk and honey, a place where you can have victory in your life. Not only the victory that God wants us to have, but I want you to notice the enemies that are out there. Look in verse 28. The Bible says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anka there. Here the Bible says that Moses sent out these 12 men to spy out Canaan. And they looked at Canaan and said, hey, Canaan is a place of fruit. Canaan is a place of milk and honey. Canaan is a place that we need to live. And God says we can live there. And God says we can possess it. And God says that we can dwell there. And this is a place that all of us need to be in. But they come back and they reported. They said, Moses, it's a place that we would love to be. But there's people there, and I believe they're stronger than us. Canaan land is a place of victory, but there's battles in Canaan. But we've got to fight our flesh every day. The Bible says have no confidence in the flesh, but we've got to keep our faith in Christ. We've got to keep looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. We've got to, my friend, to deny the world. The Bible says the world and the lust thereof shall pass away, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. And all this of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. My friend, every day we wake up and we have to battle that and fight that. Talking to Brother Robert, I would hate. I'm 30 years old now. I'm about to say 28, but I'm 30 years old. 30 years old. I would hate to go back to a public school and be a Christian and have to put up what they put up with. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad these children has told us they made a profession of faith, and their faith is in trust is in Jesus Christ. But could you imagine going back to a public school, my friend, and living with the wicked world? You say, preacher, how would they do that? By depending upon God, by Bible reading, by prayer, by staying faithful to the church, by listening to the pastor, and by living in Canaan land. The only way they're going to have the victory, the only way you're going to have the victory in your life is by living in Canaan. But my friend, as you live there, there's battles that needs to be fought. There's wars we're going to have to fight in. We're going to have to fight our flesh, and we're going to have to fight this world, and we're going to have to fight the devil. And the only way you can do that is by taking the shield of faith, which shall quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Well, it's Christ that helps us live. There's enemies. Notice this next verse, if you read along with me. The verse we just read, the Bible says here that these people were strong. Not only that, but the Bible says that the cities was walled. And it was very great. There were strong men in the city. In fact, I believe one of the men said, as we looked at these men and looked at ourselves, we was grasshoppers compared to these men. These Amalekites was as giants. And we was but just as grasshoppers in their sight. Boy, you had to fight some strong fights in this faith. My friend, not only that, but the Bible says there's walls that was built up in Canaan. They had to get over the walls. I believe that speak of work. Hey, Canaan land, it's not a place of heaven. It's a place of the victorious Christian life. But there's enemies that needs to be defeated. There's people, my friend, that's going to be stronger than us in our own selves unless we depend upon the Lord. There's walls that's going to be out there that you're going to have to work over and get over. And the Bible also said it's very great. It's going to take more than just a Sunday morning Christianity to get you to live in this Canaan. It's going to take more than just a 10-minute prayer a week to get you to live in this place. It's going to take more than just handing out one gospel tract to someone that you know that already goes to a church somewhere else to get you into Canaan. Canaan is a victorious Christian life God wants all of us to have. But it takes work. It takes effort. It takes sweat on your brow. It takes some calluses on your knees. It takes, my friend, going to bed sometime with your head hurting because you've been in the Bible. You've been in the Word of God. I remember Lee Robertson said, a young boy asked Lee Robertson, how much do you read the Bible? And Lee Robertson's response was this. He said, I read the Bible till it starts burning on the inside. You ever read the Bible like that? We read it enough just to get bored with it. Read enough just to fill our emotional with the Word of God. But my friend, in Canaan, there's walls we have to get over. In Canaan, there's people we have to get over. In Canaan, my friend, it's very great. And notice verse 29. The Bible says, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelled by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Hey, my friend, in Canaan land, there's always going to be somebody that tries to knock you back. And it's our enemy. Is our enemy another church? No. Is our enemy each other? No. You say, Preacher Scott, what's your enemy? My greatest enemy is myself. It's not my wife. Sometimes she might think it is. It's not you. As much as I yell and fuss and everything else, it's not you, my enemy. It's not the world that's my enemy. It's my own stinking flesh. If I could just crucify the flesh, give it to Jesus Christ and live in Him, have a crucified life. But we're going to have to defeat our enemies in Canaan. We're going to have to get over some walls. It's going to take some work. But Canaan is a place that God wants us to be in. My friend, would you like to be in Canaan tonight? Would you like to have the victorious Christian life tonight? Would you like to know you're in God's perfect will tonight? Would you like to be in a place where you can bring much glory to God by the life you live? Well, I would. I wish every time I step out of my house, every time I wake up, I knew that God was going to use me to bring Him glory. And we could do that in Canaan. Not only the enemies that's out there, but I want you to notice this. The decisions you must make. There's one decision every one of us is going to have to make. Do you want to live in Canaan land? Do you want to have that victorious Christian life? Jesus Christ said He couldn't do mighty, mighty miracles. He couldn't do a mighty work in front of His own family because of their unbelief. But do you want God to work in our church? Do you want God to work in your life? Do you want God, my friend, to send us a Holy Ghost-sent revival? Well, I know I do. But I'm just tired of pretending all the time. I'm tired, my friend, of people coming in and leaving the same way. I'm tired, my friend, of Jesus Christ not taking up a permanent residence here at Open Door. I want Christ to move. I want God to work. I want to see a mighty work of God. As in Welch revivals, yes. As all the George Muellers and all those other men of God, as they saw God working and God breathing, what God can do, I want to see that. I want you to experience that. I want you to be part of that. And in Canaan land, we can have that. We can have all that God wants us to have. But we have to remember, in Canaan land, there's wars that's going to have to be fought. There's battles that's going to have to be won. And we can do all of that through Jesus Christ. But now you're going to have to make a decision. Look what it says here, if you would, in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Now here's the problem we got. God says, "Church, you can have Canaan. You can have the victorious Christian life." And these men went out to spy Canaan, and they come back and said, "Moses, it's a wonderful place. Moses, they got grapes as big as you can imagine. They got pomegranates. They got figs. They got fruit. It's flowing milk and honey. Moses, it's all we would ever need to live our lives." And Moses said, "All right, boys, let's go get it." And then some people said, "Well, Moses, I believe you're right. We can get it. We're well able. Moses, we've got all we need to conquer the land. Moses, come on, and let's get our family, and let's get our children, and let's get our possessions, and go on into Canaan land, where it's victorious, where it's flowing milk and honey, where there's grapes, and all that we would need. Hey, Moses, let's go." And then you had some to stand up and say, oh, wait a minute. We can't do it. They're stronger than us. They're bigger than us. Our enemies dwell there. We cannot possess the land that God wants us to have. So now, my friend, we've got a choice to make. Are you going to go with them that says, "God, we can take it," or are you going to settle with those who said, "God, we cannot take it"? I don't know about you, but I want Canaan land. I want the victorious life. I'm not going to settle for just a meek, lowly Christian life. I want the best that God has for me. And there's always going to be some that says, "Hey, we cannot do it." Everywhere you go, in this brother's church, in y'all's church, in the church down the road, there's always someone that says, we can't do it. I don't have enough of faith in God that God can prove himself. My unbelief is too big. I don't believe my God in heaven can take care of us. I don't believe God can do it. I just don't believe God has enough of power. I don't believe God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't believe he owns enough of wealth. I don't believe he owns enough of power. I don't really believe what the Bible says. I don't believe God can do it. But then you just have a small handful of people who says, I believe God can. Oh, I believe God can. But I believe God can do anything God wants to do. I believe, my friend, God could do a mighty great work here at Open Door. I believe God can save your family. I believe God can save my family. I believe God can send us a revival. I believe God can stir up America. I believe God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask, dream, and think, my friend. And if you've got a choice tonight, who are you going to side with? Are you going to sit on the side with those who said, preacher, we can't do it? And that's the majority of the people. Preacher, we can't do it. We don't have enough of people, don't have enough of income, don't have enough of faith. You going to sit on that side, or are you going to get on the other side? Well, one or two men said, Moses, we can possess the land. It's going to take some work, Rennie. It's going to take some battle. It's going to take some sweat. It's going to take some nights of not sleeping and praying and getting in touch with God. It's going to take some effort, some work, and some faith. But Moses, I believe we can do it because God's already given it to us. You realize that? God's already given it to us, folks. You said, preacher, we can't do it. Why not? God's already given it to us. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, hey, go out and inspire Canaan and look at Canaan. I want you to just get a little taste of it. I want you to sample those grapes. I want you to sample that fruit. I want you to drink that milk and honey. I want you to just get a little bit of taste of it. So when you come back, you can tell us all the good news and the people's going to get excited about it. And they say, hey, whatever it takes, we're going to live in Canaan because God told us to go. And God says he's already given us the land. Well, it don't belong to the world, it belongs to us. It don't belong to your neighbor, it belongs to you. And God says it's right here. If you want it, you can have it, but it's only by faith. People said, David, we can't do it. We're little grasshoppers, them big giants. My faith and my God won't allow me to go to Canaan. Well, that's all right. If that's the way you feel, you sit right there and sit up there in your sorrow. You sit up there in your unbelief. You sit there in your little faith. Hey, but for me and myself, I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. And you say, why, preacher? Because he's worthy. Because he's never let me down. Because he's a faithful and true and merciful God. Because he said, hey, weeping may endure for the night, but joy shall come in the morning. We might shed some tears. We might have some heartache. We might go through some sorrow, but we on the winning side. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, hey, I love you with everlasting love. He said, hey, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in your heart. You shall find rest unto your soul. I don't know about you, beloved. You can sit there all you want and just live in this world, but you've got a pasture before you that's going to live in Canaan land. It's going to take some fight. It's going to take some wars. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some sweating. It's going to take some praying. It's going to take knocking on doors. It's going to take believing in God. But God's given us enough of faith, just my friend, to step out on the water and say, God, bid me to come to thee. You know what he told his disciples? He says, get on the ship and go to the other side. There's other disciples around there, but he just told a few. He said, boys, get in the ship. He constrained them. That word constrain, it actually means to make. Come here, Brandon. Can I borrow Brandon for a minute? He's my son. I can do with him what I want. Hear what Jesus said now. Hear what we want Jesus to say. Brandon, if you want to, you get in this ship and go to the other side. It'd be a whole lot better for you. But you do what you want to. That's not what Jesus said. That's what we want Jesus to say so it'd be more convenient for us. But this Christian life's not convenient. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, hey, Brandon, you see that boat? Get in it. Get in it. Hey, get in the boat. Hey, get in the boat. I want you to get in the boat because this boat is going to go to the other side. And I'm going to prove my goodness. And I'm going to prove something to you as you get in the midst of the water. And the waves is contrary. And the wind is blowing. And the rain's filling up the boat. And my friend, I'm going to come out on the water. I'm going to calm the winds. I'm going to make the rain leap up out of the boat. I'm going to call Peter to me. I'm going to demonstrate to you that having faith in God is all you need to take you through on Canaan land. Do you want to get in the boat? You want to go to Canaan land? It's not going to be for the weak of heart. And some won't go. Might be a husband. Might be a wife. It might be your best buddy in church. They might just decide to sit right there and not go to Canaan land. Just die in the little existence they got. But I don't know about you. I want to be like Brandon. Get in the boat. Go to the other side. Let God prove himself. Just try something big for God, because we've got a big God. And you can have a decision tonight. You can follow those who won't go, or you can just step on board and go with those who will go. But I want you to know something. God says, it's yours. You can have it. Just by faith, take it. The victory that God wants us to have is Canaan. But beloved, Canaan's not going to be an easy place. It's going to take faith. It's going to take work. It's going to take trusting in God. But I believe it's worth it, don't you? I believe it's worth it. Because when you get there, boy, you'll be satisfied with God. The Bible says that my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. That's what the Lord said. I want you to be satisfied with who God is. Not with what he can do for us, because he can do everything. Not with what he's given us, because, beloved, he's given you everything you've got now. You got clothes on your back that come from God. You got food in your gut that comes from God. You got a house to live in, a car to drive. You got money in your pocket. All that comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. You got everything good you got tonight come from Jesus. We don't need to worship God for what he's done or what he can give us, but for who God is. And God says, you can listen to the 10, or you can go with the 2. You can listen to the 10 that says, we're not able, or you can listen just to those 2 men that had faith in God and say, God, we're well able. We're well able to go because it's your will, because you're in control, and because we're your people. I'm going to just listen to the Bible and have faith in God and do what God wants me to do. And beloved, tonight I hope you jump on board and say, Pastor, we believe God enough to trust in what the Bible says, to leap out into the deep. But tonight, I want you to know some of you are not going to go. Some of our church won't go. But God bless those who will. That says, Pastor, by faith, we're going to just believe God. Let's pray together. Father, love you tonight. Not here to hurt, harm, or destroy anybody. I'm sick and tired of the devil putting in our hearts unbelief. Oh, God, we ought to be smart and wise, be a wise steward, be a faithful steward. I believe that. But tonight, Lord God, the world's dying and going to hell. And we should have enough of faith in God to do something about it, to be a witness for Christ. God, to stand up on what we believe is true on God's word and live for you. Many folks won't go. They'll just sit down and watch everybody else do the work. But Father, tonight I pray, God, you'll raise up a generation tonight that will just have faith in God. That will just say, Lord, I believe you took care of me this far. You can take care of me a little bit further. You provided my needs so far, I believe you can provide them until the day I take my last breath. Lord, the Bible says you couldn't do mighty miracles you couldn't do, a mighty work, because of their unbelief. The Bible says that the preaching of the gospel didn't profit them nothing because it wasn't mixed with faith. Lord, not all I've said tonight would be silly to those who's not going to mix it with faith, who's not going to believe in God. But I pray, Father, you help those tonight who needs this, to keep their faith in Christ, to keep looking unto Jesus, to launch out into the deep, to go over to the other side, to live in Canaan. Lord, help our church. Bless those who are here tonight. God, I pray you to give them all that they need spiritually. Fill them up with that goodness. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes still closed for just a little moment. The invitation begins tonight. The altar is open. You going to be one of those who believes in God? Or just sit there and have unbelief? Say, preacher, what we need to believe God for? Well, for one thing, what God's told us to do. For what God's told us we can have. For what God told us we should become. More like Him. Every day we should be more like Him. You think we can have revival? I'm talking about a God-sent revival, where sinners get saved. I'm talking about repent of their wickedness. Can we have that revival where Christians spend time in prayer with God until God moves? Can we have that type of revival? I heard a story where Charles Spurgeon went into a building to check the sound to see if his voice would echo. Nobody was there but just someone on top of the balcony. And all Spurgeon said was, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The story said that man that was in the balcony got so convicted that he come down and asked Spurgeon to lead him to the Lord. I'm talking about a God-sent revival where sinners get saved, Christians get strengthened. God's mighty work can be revealed. You believe God could do something like that with our church? Believe God can do something like that with your life? I believe God still can. If you'll just have faith. If you'll just believe the Bible. Walk by faith, not by sight. Now you can live with those who said we can't. Or you can be part of those who said we can. Choice is yours.